Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with strength and conditioning specialist Coach Chris. Join us for the next 30 minutes as Coach Chris shares ways to improve your health in all areas of your life. Along with his special guests, he strives to give you that cerebral edge to help make you 1% better every day. Now, here's Coach Chris.
Power Talk 1040 KPPF. Welcome to the show. This is the show that aims to give you the edge to get you 1% better every day. Add that all up to 365 days a year. Kevin, what do you get?
I was told there would be no math.
There'd be no math today. Well, if you do, right, you get a better version of yourself.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yes. Well, so I agree.
One parts plus two parts equals the whole part, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. Hey, Coach, good Saturday afternoon. Give me a fist bump,
fist
buddy.
Fist bump. Boom.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for all the pain and suffering you've been giving me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've been noticing it's been helping you a little bit, right?
It has, yeah. It really has. You know, I've got a little bit of the diet going as well. Of course, that always has to be part of it.
Always.
But I hit a milestone the other day. I was able to do 10 push-ups nonstop.
That's
boom, boom,
right.
Boom, all the way. You know, not a big, most people are going, oh, yeah, all right, great, congratulations. But for a lot of folks out there, 10 straight push-ups when you're getting up there, that's a pretty big deal.
Can be a feat.
I haven't been able to do that for years, so that felt good.
Yeah, when I test some people on push-ups, they're surprised on how many they can do.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, hey. They're like, oh, man, this is a lot harder than I remember.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the first things that goes when you start mm-hmm. when all of a sudden your life settles down and you're no longer as active, you're not playing as many sports, you're not mm-hmm. moving, and all of a sudden you put on a few pounds, you're a little older.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first things you notice. Wow, man, I can't do 10 push-ups. I can do like 3.
Right.
Well, it makes sense because all of a sudden you're heavier and mm-hmm. you're not working out, and so there you go.
And yeah. Then what else goes in their minds a lot of times when they come to see me
yeah.
is, well, I'm older, so now I can't train hard, right?
Right.
I'm too old. I can't train hard. It's like, well, it depends on what training hard means to you.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can definitely train hard. I got a 70-year-old right now who mm-hmm. trains his butt off. I have an 85-year-old, too, that trains his butt off.
Yeah.
And they look at me and they go, man, this puts a whole new light on my life because when I thought I couldn't push myself anymore, you show me a way to push and I can still get stronger and I can still gain muscle.
Right.
Right. The 85-year-old looked at me the other day and goes, Chris, I can't believe the leg definition I'm getting on my legs. I'm 85. I shouldn't be able to build any more muscle.
Well, and I'm sure that one of your challenges is if it's a 70, 80-year-old guy, there's a lot of injuries you got to get by. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just can't because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have to alleviate some of that and get their joints and their muscles feeling better so they can work hard. But barring injury, barring you know, significant pain, there's no reason why an old gal can't push hard, work hard.
Yeah, and it's about working smart so you can work hard.
Right.
Like Ellington Darden, I had Doc on the show a while ago, Doc Higgins, and he said that Ellington Darden said, when I was 24, I trained like I was 72. So that way, when I was 72, I could train like I was 24.
Nice.
You know, so it's about programming smart. Not beating your body into the ground all the time.
Right.
Right? Allowing for proper recovery,
mm-hmm.
picking proper exercise selections, another huge one, and then allowing time for the muscle to repair and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's one of the biggest reasons people come to see me, right, is performance. You know, mm-hmm. I want to do 10 more push-ups, or I want to play better softball, or mm-hmm. I want to play better golf. Or body composition. That's another big one, right?
What do you mean? Like they're too heavy or?
Yeah, like if they're like, my arm's a little bit flabby, right?
Oh.
Or they're like, my chest isn't what it used to be, or, you know, my legs aren't where I want them, or my butt's too big, right?
Sure. So they want to focus on a particular body part?
Yeah. So a lot of times it's whole body, right?
Uh-huh.
But they will notice things on themselves first, right? That'll get them kind of motivated to go. They'll be like, man, my arms aren't nearly what they used to be. Right. They're like, man, my butt's either too big or it's too flat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they'll be like, I need to change my entire body composition.
Mm-hmm.
So the big part that makes them come in, right, is seeing the flabby skin or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that's motivation.
Yeah, boy, that's the big M word, man. It's a big M. Yeah, I would imagine that's the root of a lot of people coming in, and people also
fading out.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause motivation, right? People look at it as something outside themselves that they have to get. I have to get the motivation. Right? You ever hear people say that?
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you have to get it, you're never going to get it, right? Because it's something that's already inside you.
Right.
And you either have the motivation to go work out in the gym, or you have the motivation to sit on the couch and watch TV, right?
That's a great way to put it, because, yeah, I mean, either way, you're motivated.
Either way, you're motivated.
Right.
It's not a lack of motivation, of which people like say, they're like, I'm lacking in motivation. I'm like, no, your motivation is just in the wrong spot.
That's right. We got to put it in the right spot.
Yeah. And you have to change that around. But when you look at it, it's like, what is motivation really? It's a cognitive and emotional comparison of different outcomes.
Huh?
Right. So I'll say that again, a cognitive and emotional. Right?
Right.
So you have to have both of those in order to be motivated to do one thing or another.
Right. Right.
So cognitive, right? It's like, is what I'm doing, right, what I want to do, right? The other thing is, what does that give me? What feeling does it give me when I do it?
Right.
So if I'm cognitively thinking about going to the gym, it's like, okay, cognitively I'm going to go there. It's going to hurt, right? But what's it going to give me emotionally? Am I going to be able to get the physique that I want? Am I going to get the dopamine levels that I want when I go there?
Right.
Maybe, maybe not, right?
Right.
But I know if I sit down on the couch, watch TV, I'm going to get instant gratification with my bag of chips or popcorn or whatever and sit down.
Right.
And I know that's going to instantly give me some gratification there.
Right. You know, it's interesting, motivation. If you think about that stud running back for the local high school team, or any young sports person that really wants to do well, and mom and dad have aspirations for college and maybe professional or whatever.
Right.
Think about what their room looks like. Think about what posters are on their wall.
Mm-hmm.
What things they're looking at every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my sons all had aspirations of being big time sports people.
Right.
And in their rooms, motivational quotes, players that they look up to.
Right.
Perhaps athletes with a physique that they are hoping to get one day.
Mm-hmm.
Flip it over and you think about the motivation in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on your TV and there's an advertising for a hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
Advertising for pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite television show that's streaming on Netflix and it's got 5 episodes you can watch in a row tonight, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. So you can use different tools to motivate you,
mm-hmm.
Including the positives that are going to get you in and get you to work and keep you motivated to continue your journey.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at motivation, it's really a neurological skill, right? That can be developed and trained.
Right.
I mean, you've heard garbage in, garbage out of your mind,
right?
So if you're sitting there watching, you know, TV and not looking at your, you know, motivational quotes or, mm-hmm. you know, going on YouTube and looking at motivational videos,
right?
You're getting that garbage in your mind, right? So then you're getting that emotional pull of the hamburger, of the, you know, pizza or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
the beer, whatever it happens to be, the advertisement, right? And then, but it's so neurological because, right, there's two factors that determine that adaptation of that motivation, right? And the two main things that your brain's always thinking about is safety and conservation of energy.
Safety and conservation of energy.
Yeah. So people are naturally lazy.
Right.
Because we grew up in an environment to where we need to conserve a lot of energy.
Right.
Right. And we have to make sure we're safe.
Right.
And working out is neither of those things.
Right. And the safest place on earth is that couch.
And the safest place on earth is that couch. Yeah. So.
And really, I mean, if you break it down to the simplest level, pumping iron might make your body subconsciously feel like, whoa, this is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to fight against that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're sore afterwards. You're like,
yeah,
oh,
this is not safe. This hurts.
This hurts, right?
Yep. So
that's how people can get that emotional tug of either doing or not doing.
Right. And we're wired to conserve energy. Mm-hmm. We're wired to, no, don't do too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the caveman of you is saying, oh, no, you don't want to work too hard. You've got to conserve for tomorrow so you can go
exactly.
hunting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so we've got these two things that are fighting against mm-hmm. what we really need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard pull because of those advertisements and because of a lot of things that are getting poured in. But there's hope.
Oh.
There is hope.
Right? Good, 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 good.
Because as soon as you start working out and you start to make it consistent, that body compensation starts to change.
Right.
And then you start to emotionally get invested.
Right.
But it takes time, unfortunately, right? That's the unfortunate part.
And that'll take us right back to the motivational advertising, the videos, the mm-hmm. posters or whatever. You look at yourself in the mirror and you start to see a change.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a motivator.
Motivator.
Talk about a motivator. Wow.
Right.
I was at the softball game the other night playing senior softball, just hit a double, come in, and my teammate shoves an iPhone in front of me, and he just videotaped my hit, just videotaped me mm-hmm. at the plate, swinging the bat. And I'm like, man, I look pretty good.
Right.
I look pretty good. Talk about a motivator. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because people have been saying it to you.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
But I don't have a scale at home. I mean, you look at yourself in the mirror, it's too slow of a change for you to notice it when you get up in the morning and look yourself in the mm-hmm. mirror. But when you see a video of yourself from
right.
afar, from a perspective of some other person, and you're looking pretty good, man. Woo.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is when you're working out, you also get those serotonin dopamine dumps, too.
Right.
Right. So then tell you a story about yesterday, right?
Okay.
So yesterday I was in my office, wasn't feeling the best, didn't get a very good night's sleep, had a little bit of depression going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave called me and said, let's go to Gripstone.
You're talking about the king of Mountain Radio Group?
The king of Mountain Radio. He said, let's go to Gripstone.
Oh, wow. Gripstone. That's the rock climbing place.
Rock climbing place, right? Last thing in the world I kind of wanted to do.
Right.
But I said, sure, right? And after I sent that, I was just all up in my emotions, right? Going, man, I just really don't feel like it. But you know what I did? I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go.
Okay.
So as soon as I went, right, and I started climbing, and I started working hard, all of a sudden I just felt so much better. And you're like, oh my gosh, man, you're working hard. And, you know, especially when you get to those last, you know, few reps that you have of climbing in your hands, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. I mean, you're shaking and you're grunting and you're breathing heavy. And something just comes over to you where you're like, this is it. This uh-huh. is the zone,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I was done, I was like, man, all that depression and everything I had going on and even, you know, the sleep deprived, it just vanished.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what it's supposed to be like, right?
Yeah.
So then that gives you the ability to want to chase that uh-huh. that emotion again.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something. Dave was talking to me about that just a little bit ago
yeah.
before we started doing the show. And he was explaining what you guys were doing. And he said you were doing something that nobody does over there. Yeah. And I'm not sure what it was. It was sort of a inward angled rock where you had to climb up certain levels, mm-hmm. and they had different levels marked off, mm-hmm. that you needed to try to get to.
Yeah.
And nobody gets up to like level 10.
Yeah.
And he said you just climbed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he's like waiting for you to give up. 6, 7. He said you people were looking at you going, what the heck is that guy doing? He said you reached all the way to the very top.
Yep.
You must have a grip of like a bionic man or something. Because he said the spot that you got to up there was brand new, clean. Nobody had ever touched it. There was not a fingerprint on it. Right. But you went all the way to the top. Yeah. So good job,
thanks,
dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah, wow. That was super motivating.
He was
too.
Like, he says, honestly, Kevin, there were people standing around, stopped what they were doing, and they're going, look at that dude. Look at that dude.
Yeah, it was.
But then you came down, you lost your grip and crashed to the ground.
Yeah, gave out coming back down. But that was getting to that moments of failure, right?
Yeah.
Where I was just feeling good and I was rocking it. And it's one of those things where you hang on with like your fingertips and you have just a little bit of a ledge and then you kind of pull yourself up just using your hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a hand ladder.
Yeah, that's what I remember. He was saying a very tiny little ledge for the tips of your fingers. So you are using sort of the pads of your wrist there or whatever you call it.
Yeah, so you're kind of hanging on with your fingertips and you're clawing and you're pulling yourself up and coming through. And I wasn't even sure how many I would do. But I was like, okay, I got to 7, then 8, then 9, then 10.
And all of a sudden, you talk about slapping that depression down, man.
Oh, man, it felt good,
man. Oh, yeah.
People around there clapping. It was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, great stuff that we're hearing about today with motivation and working out and how you can help your motivation out. But let's take a break and pay some bills. This is Power Talk 1040 KPPF. We are back on the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040, talking with my man Kevin Hayes about motivation, working out, body composition.
Yeah, and how, just before we went to the break, we were talking a really, really solid, powerful point about whether it's lack of motivation, mm-hmm. Whether it's even depression.
Oh, yeah.
Even depression, man.
Oh, yeah.
Chris just gave us a great example of someone saying, let's go, come on, let's go, let's go. No, I don't want to go. Come on, let's go. You mm-hmm. get up and go, and an hour later, you're as high as you could ever be, feeling fantastic. Mm-hmm. You guys went out and had a great lunch afterwards, man. Yep. It was just, and so that's, hey, if you're feeling down and out and you feel like you can't, let me tell you what,
mm-hmm.
get up, get out, go. Next thing you know, you're going to be feeling fantastic. That's what working out can do for you.
Without a doubt. Like, I looked at Dave after that and I said, Dave, you were such a blessing today.
Yeah.
I was like, this is something I needed. I didn't want to go, but I went anyway, right?
Yeah.
And that's something a good coach does.
Right.
Right. Because when people want to come to me for body compensation, it's easy to do, but it's hard as heck.
Yeah.
Right. So when people will sit there and they'll have that same battle in their own head, mm-hmm. and go, I'm going to see Chris today. And even Dave's told me, he's like, it's the last thing I want to do. But as soon as he goes and does it, he's like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. So if you're out there sulking, contemplating, all caught up in your emotions, just go and almost lie to yourself. Sometimes I lie to myself. I'm like,
oh yeah,
I'm only going to do one set or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I end up, doing that one set and I was like, okay, let's do another.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll get to the point to where you'll be slapping yourself down before you even get those thoughts in your brain. It's mm-hmm. like, that's how it is for me. Like when I know you're coming to work out with us, I'll get like half a sentence out in the back of my brain. Well, mm-hmm. I don't want to, and then I just go, no.
No.
No. Yeah. You're gonna. because right. you know what how you feel afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great feeling. I mean, it's sticky, it's sweaty, it's. Mm-hmm. I get to walk around and have a little BO for the rest of the day. But you know what, man? It feels good. Those endorphins and all that high-tech chemical stuff mm-hmm. that's going on is nothing but positive.
Yep. And sometimes, you know, with people, to not overwhelm them, I'll be like, let's just start with 2 minutes. Then after yep. 2 minutes, they're like, okay, I'm yep. good. Let's yeah. go. Let's yeah. push,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing like that camaraderie. You know,
there's nothing like that.
There's nothing like the high fives, and there's nothing like the, mm-hmm. you know, you work, you're going to get praised for it, man. Mm-hmm. And we all need that. We all need that. We don't need to be sitting around people telling us how disappointed they are in us and mm-hmm. how we weren't able to accomplish something or whatever, or at mm-hmm. least, or even think that that's what people are thinking.
Yeah.
When you're out and you're working, whether it's in the yard, whether it's hiring Coach Chris, whatever you're doing, nothing but positives, man. And that's what we all need.
Yeah, absolutely. That's working with a guy who's 70 years old and came to me. He's in pretty decent shape, right? But mm-hmm. could tell he was a little bit depressed and his muscles were a little watery, right? Mm-hmm. They weren't, you know, as hard as they used to be. And started working out with him, doing blood flow restrictive training with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that with Coach Pat, who's on the show.
Yeah, I remember that.
A couple of times ago. And being able to take him to a high intensity with lower loads, but working really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he gets done, he goes, Chris, this is just amazing. He's like, this is just so great. And his muscle definition and strength and everything has doubled since he's seen me.
Really?
Yeah, he's packed on 10 pounds of muscle.
Nice.
Within, I would say, a month.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's because not everybody's going to get that result.
Right.
One, he's got great genetics.
Yeah.
Is one thing.
That helps.
And two, he's been there before.
Right.
So he, there's a thing called satellite cells in your muscles that remember
mm-hmm. yeah.
how big they were.
Sure.
And they get there faster than somebody who's never been there before.
Right.
But he's just like, here I am. 70 years old, making more progress in a couple months than I've made in about 5 years because I was telling myself that I just can't train hard anymore because I'm old.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing can be further from the truth, right?
Right?
And it can be so defeating to get in that mindset, to be like, oh, I'm just injured and I can't do this and I can't do that anymore. I can't work hard anymore. He goes, once you showed me that I can still work hard, it was like a completely different world opened up. And that was one of the coolest stories I have of that. That and then the other guy that I was talking about earlier was 85. And he did Seven Bridges the other day, right? You know where Seven Bridges is? Have you heard of it?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's a trail. It's kind of rocky, right?
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to go together, and something came up, I couldn't go. And he called me that night, and I was thinking, oh, no. Right? What happened? So he called me up. He says, I did Seven Bridges. I go, uh-oh. Right? I'm thinking he probably hurt himself. I'm thinking this in my head. And I said, hey, how'd it go? And he goes, well, I just did Seven Bridges. And I'm like, okay. Waiting for the punch. And he goes, and I felt fantastic. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah. And see, the thing to take, the takeaway for me is just because you're old doesn't mean you can't work hard. Now, mm-hmm. what that means is Chris is not going to pack the bar with four plates on each side and expect a 75-year-old man to pump out 10 reps.
Right.
There are things that we can do in this modern age mm-hmm. that Chris knows all about
mm-hmm.
that will allow a 75, 85-year-old person, man, woman, whoever,
mm-hmm.
To work hard. But not move a Volkswagen around.
Right.
Yeah.
That sort of training and also high-intensity training that I do with people has flipped on its head what I thought needed to be done.
Really?
To gain muscle.
Wow. Okay.
Because I used to think it was only through doing 400-pound squats that you
yeah.
can gain muscle.
Right.
Right. So my belief on muscle growth is really you just take the muscle to failure or multiple sets close to failure,
mm-hmm.
and you will gain muscle.
Wow. Encouraging news for folks that have got, you know, muscle wasting kind of, you know, that they look at their arms and their sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
You can build that back up.
You can build that back up.
Wow.
And if you look at some of the older bodybuilders, Mike Menzer is one of them, right, who believed in high intensity training, which was taking a muscle and making it work as hard as possible, right? But by doing that, you can't use as much load.
Right.
You can't use as much load as you think you can use. If you're doing like a five-second tempo and you're going from machine to machine, right, or exercise to exercise, like you're in and out of the gym about maybe 40 minutes if you're doing full body, right? And that's if, you know, that's no rest, but you're still taking the muscle to failure. Sounds easy, right? It's like, oh, it's only 40 minutes. But let me tell you what, that's going to be the hardest work you'll ever do.
Yeah.
But the people that do it go, man, my joints have never felt better.
Really?
They're like, I'm getting more results than I've ever gotten before. Doing a lot of different exercises, because you'll see people in the gym going, well, you have to do this angle and you have to do that angle. It's like, not really, right? Doing just simple exercise routines, and not complicating things too much, you can gain a decent amount of muscle.
Wow.
So that flips everything on its head.
It does, man. Very encouraging.
Because people are thinking, oh, if I go to the gym, I have to do these deadlifts and I've got to do, you know, these heavy back squats, right? Not saying squats or deads are bad exercise. Right. They can be a great exercise done properly. But you can do other exercises at a high intensity but lower weight and still gain a good amount of strength and muscle.
Very encouraging, yeah. Yep.
Any other thoughts, Kev?
No, man. Hey, this has been fantastic. So what are the takeaways from today?
Yeah, so the takeaways is motivation, right?
Motivation.
What is it, right? What are you motivated in doing? Are you motivated to stay on the couch? Are you motivated to go to the gym? Remember, it's an emotional pull. Right?
Right.
So sometimes you can't get stuck in that emotion, and sometimes you just have to go.
Right.
Right. So just remember, it's a cognitive and emotional comparison. That's what motivation is. Right? And it can be trained as long as you keep at it, right?
Right.
And build the habit.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is my belief on muscle growth, right? You don't have to lift 500 pounds to gain muscle. Right? You just make an exercise harder by adding tempo, things like that, lighter loads, blood flow restrictive training, and you can gain a significant amount of muscle. And that's really all you need to do to gain muscle, is to make the body go, I need to change because this is very stressful.
Even if I'm 80?
Even if you're 80. Even if you're 85.
Nice.
Yep. Even if you have boatload of depression going on, just start moving.
Start moving, man. Yep.
All right. This has been the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope what you heard today will help make you at least 1% better, because 1% adds up every day. Stay strong.
This has been the Cerebral Edge on KPPF. Have a question for Coach Chris? Email him at cerebraledge1@gmail.com. That's Cerebral Edge, the number one, at gmail.com. Join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040 KPPF.